streets on Main Street.
The mayors of Nashville and Clarksville have declared states of emergency. More than 44,000 customers are without power in the region. Forecasters say the system that spawned those twisters stretches from the Florida Panhandle to northern Pennsylvania. An ill-fated appearance before Congress leads to a pair of resignations at an Ivy League school. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
University of Pennsylvania's President Liz McGill is now resigning amid outrage over her answer in a congressional hearing. She was asked if calling for the genocide of Jews violated Penn's code of conduct.
It is a context-dependent decision.
The presidents of Harvard and MIT have also been criticized for their remarks and face calls for their resignation.
The chairman of Penn's Board of Trustees has also quit. Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts tipped the team's proverbial hand when he told reporters last week the Dodgers had met with baseball's premier free agent.
But we're trying to position ourselves in the best possible way.
Shohei Ohtani should help them do just that. Here's reporter Erica Herskowitz.
The mystery is over. Two-way superstar Shohei Ohtani is headed to the Dodgers. He came to terms on a record-breaking deal with L.A., 10 years, $700 million. The most sought-after player in free agency made that announcement on Instagram Saturday, apologizing for taking so long to come to the decision and publicly thanking fans and the Angels organization.
Where he played for 6 years, the Texas Supreme Court has temporarily stayed a lower court ruling that would have allowed a woman to have an emergency abortion because of a possibly fatal condition. CBS's Jared Hill.
Trial attorney David Berg, a member of the Texas Bar, says Cox meets the exception under the law. Her doctors say her pregnancy is not viable, and she has a risk for multiple complications.
It's an unsigned order from the court, but generally what that means is that the Supreme Court sees merit in the state of Texas' opposition to the order.
But State Attorney General Ken Paxton argued Cox had not demonstrated that she would suffer immediate and irreparable harm.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 33 today, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 15. Tomorrow, highs around 35. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
As so it goes, as so it goes, as so it goes, as so it goes. So it goes. Oh, it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Bach is with me in the studio. Calvin is on the board, and we always love to hear from you. You can call and or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
party.
And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Lots and lots of things going on.
Jam-packed show.
Jam-packed show. Dane County judge handing a victory to abortion rights supporters yesterday after ruling that the 1849 abortion law does not prohibit abortions. So that ruling could eventually be appealed to Wisconsin Supreme Court, which recently flipped to liberal control after the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Coming up at 11:30, we're very excited to have Michelle Velasquez of Wisconsin Planned Parenthood is going to be joining us to talk about what this means and what's next and where this is all going, how this is all going to play out over the next few months. So that's big news. Also big news this morning, Governor Evers, just about, I want to say 20 minutes ago, vetoed the Republicans' bill banning gender-affirming care for LGBTQ youth. Evers said on Twitter, "I promised I would veto any bill that makes Wisconsin a less safe, less inclusive, and less welcoming place for LGBTQ folks and kids. I keep my promises."
Thank you, Governor Evers.
I think this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Watch goes into a little bit more detail. Gender-affirming care is doctor-prescribed treatment endorsed by every major medical association in the United States. Peer-reviewed research has shown that social transition and medical care like puberty blockers and hormones that were targeted by the bill actually improved the lives of those with gender dysphoria. In Wisconsin, transgender care for kids is prescribed with the involvement of medical professionals and parents, does not involve the use of medication until puberty, and does not, in most cases, involve surgery until they reach adulthood. So I think there are a lot of these fallacies that are being promoted by some on, yes, we're doing top surgery on 9-year-olds. That's not happening.
Nope, that's not true at all. Absolutely untrue.
Also in this article that I'm looking at here, a coordinated conservative and Christian nationalist movement has fueled the deluge of misinformation. Wisconsin's ban that was introduced by Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha mirrors legislation from the right-wing group Family Policy Alliance. Family Policy Alliance strives to conform all levels of government to a biblical worldview.
Oh. 844-967-2789.
844-967-2789. Governor Evers, just moments ago, 20 minutes ago, vetoing legislation put forward by the Wisconsin GOP that would ban gender-affirming care for youth. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Does the government belong making these decisions? Again, I go back to parental rights. I am the parent. I get to decide what my child reads. I get to decide where my child goes to school. I get to decide, except in this instance when the government is going to decide for you that they know better.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, 12 years of Catholic schooling, nearly 10 years of youth ministry. I don't think we ever covered that chapter in the Bible, which this group wants to conform the country to, about gender reassignment, gender-affirming care, trans status, who you are. There's nowhere, it's like Ephesians says, "Thou wast born a man, you are a man." If you're a lady, too bad. It's the Bible.
Well, and I also think there are all these misconceptions, and if I have gay friends in my life, I know several transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
If you posit to them that they realized they were gay after they read a book, or they were influenced to become gay by reading a book, they all laugh.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
And on the other side of the coin, if you have if you have friends who are in that community, gay, however they identify, trans, remember just how happy they were after they realized who they were and came out and told the world, "This is who I am, and I am proud of it." Their life gets better. There is so much mental health-wise that goes into this, and I mean, I just saw a video today, a very innocuous video that said, remember, the rainbow wasn't about gay pride. It's about the promise that God made to Noah. I'm like, these are the types of things that tell kids not to come out to their parents because they're afraid. And then they harm themselves, or they can harm themselves.
Yes.
The rates of self-harm amongst the youth
and queer suicide community
is abominable and shameful. This is a good thing. Thank you, Governor Evers. And for those who are spreading disinformation, just simply go to the American Association of Medical Colleges. It is a very accredited website, and it'll give you everything you need to know. And you might still not like it, but that's the truth, and you don't get to make up your own truth.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to call in or text on this, Governor Evers just vetoing this morning Republicans' bill banning gender-affirming care for LGBTQ youth. Again, Wisconsin transgender care for kids involves medical professionals and parents, does not involve the use of medication until puberty, and does not, in most cases, involve surgery until they reach adulthood. And there, again, this misinformation about we're doing top surgery on 9-year-olds and a 7-year-old can just walk into a doctor's office and say, I want to be a boy.
Yeah, that
doesn't happen.
No. If a kid wakes up in the morning and go, I want to be a boy, it's like, well, you wanted to be an astronaut last week, too. But let's talk about it.
Right.
Why do you think you want to be a boy, or that you are a boy? You know, like you said, this is a parental issue. This is a privacy issue. This is a family issue. And we do not belong in their homes as a government. They need to make these decisions.
Parental rights.
Exactly.
844.
Unless
we don't like that. Yeah. Unless we don't like what you're doing as a parent. Then we're going to step in you do the right thing.
I had a great idea. I'm going to tell you how to raise your kid. Also going to burn books.
Karina is on the line from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina. What do you think about the governor's vetoing of this measure this morning?
Well, I think it's a right thing to talk about it, and it's right thing to talk about it on the government level, not on the religious level, because I honestly don't know how God intended for us to look like, okay? Because, if you're going to look at the angels, his first experience, they're all asexual or bisexual if you want to. So it shouldn't be even tied up to the religion, and if you wanted to tie it up to the religion, then you have to go into a love aspect and trust, and not living in the lie, because if you don't feel that you're living your best, then you're living your life, and it's a depression, it's a mental health issues. It's a suicide, it's a drug addictions, and a general unhappiness. So we are, even by religion, by God, if they want to use it, we're given a free will of the people. So we should be able to use it.
You got a point there, Karina. Yep.
And also,
thank you so much for calling.
And don't forget also the high rate of young queer youth, specifically trans youth, who are living without a house,
who are homeless, or couch surfing.
Exactly.
Because they can't live at home.
Exactly. We got a message on the live stream from our good friend, Mr. Joseph McClear. Kudos to the governor. The GOP has made it clear that they don't care one bit about the health and safety of trans youth. It's good that somebody does. Thank you, Joe McClear. I was going to make a joke about, I mean, like, his law firm should be like, just don't make it clear. Make it McClear.
Oh,
that was dumb. It was dumb. Terrible. Well, don't answer me, Joe.
Joe, if you're looking for a advertising consultant, Greg is available.
Don't hire me.
This just reminds me, as we had talked about this months ago, Greg, and do you remember Grandpa Bob?
I will never, ever forget Grandpa Bob.
Grandpa Bob called in when we were talking about this, and it was one of his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Was LGBTQ.
Nicola, I believe.
And he just shared basically what we hear from other people is that once his grandchild started getting the correct care and treatment, this kid blossomed.
Yep.
Blossomed.
Yeah.
And he was so emotional and so lovely. I will never forget when he called in and was just, you can't take this care away from these kids.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell. And, you know, the best part about it was listening to him. You were listening to a man who clearly had to do his own thinking on what he believed in the matter. You know, there are a lot of parents out there, and kudos to them, great to them, who can be like, it's my kid, it's my kid, it's my grandkids, I love no matter what. It's a struggle for people, especially older people, to understand.
Sure.
But you could see that through the struggle, he realized, this is my grandson. I love him no matter what, and I want to see him happy. And the fact that he made him happy, he had me and Jane in tears.
Yeah, it was. We were both a mess.
It was beautiful. And we need more Grandpa Bobs in the world. We want Grandpa Bob to go out and tell the good word, and that is, accept them. They're your kids.
There are exactly, exactly. Well, kudos to Governor Evers for today.
Yeah.
And stay close. I want to remind you, Kristen Bry is going to be joining us at 10:33.
What?
Yes, the new mama is going to be joining us, as she does now Wednesdays while she's on maternity leave, from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. We're going to do the good, the bad, and you did what on the witness stand? Really? Really?
I couldn't help it. I was hungry.
Okay, that's fine. And if you want to check in on this, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Thank you. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three. Sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane. Draw and kick. Right quarter. Three. Got it again.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bryan, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and we always love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. Shout out to everybody in Wisconsin Rapids this morning, listening on WFHR Homegrown Radio and on WGBW in Green Bay. Thank you for joining us. All kinds of stuff is breaking this morning.
Gosh.
It's been kind of crazy. Now, thank you to our new stringer, Joe McClear, on the live stream, letting us know that Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of the House, is now out of the House.
Whoa. I mean, that's not surprising. Come on.
No.
No, he's gonna do the same thing that Boehner did. He's going to go. He's going to retire.
Write a book.
He's going to write a book where he's going to seem way more less crazy than he tried to purport himself to be. And he's going to not be bothered by...
by politics, and become a lobbyist.
Yeah, I mean,
speaker.
Yeah, probably go on the
speaking circuit.
He'll join some board of directors, write a book, go on the speaking circuit, become a part-time pundit. You know, he's going to take that, you know, six-figure salary and ramp it up by like two more digits.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Kevin.
And thank you very much, Joe McClure, for the heads up there. Don't just be clear. Be McClure.
Oh, coming up next hour at 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking to UW-Madison Professor John Martin. He's going to join us to talk about how climate change is affecting the hardiness zones all across the country. So this determines what you can plant and mm-hmm. when you can plant, depending upon where you are in the state or yeah. in your part of the country. And things are changing so much that the hardiness zones are changing now. So Professor Martin is going to join us at 11:06 to talk about that. At the same time, a story in this morning's Wisconsin State Journal, 2023, officially the hottest year on record. The analysis found this year's global temperature more than 1.4 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial levels, close to the 1.5 degree threshold in the Paris Climate Agreement, and beyond what scientists say human and ecosystems can adapt to.
You know what I feel like? December 8th, 6th, 2024, we're going to be like, scientists have said that 2024 is the hottest year on record. It's just going to keep getting hotter. I mean, it's 33 degrees right now in Waukesha on December the 6th. It's supposed to be in the 50s this weekend.
I know. It's supposed to be 50, I think, on Friday.
Yeah, and that is just bonkers. And what really, really grinds my gears is that the big argument of either climate change deniers or people who are like, what's the big deal? It's just a few degrees. That's their argument. It's just a few degrees. That's the entire Earth heating up by a degree or two. That is bigger than you can comprehend. That's bigger than I can comprehend.
Right.
I just know to be worried because the smartest people in the room on this matter are worried.
Well, and let's not forget, and obviously not everyone is as involved in the news as we are
yeah.
and read necessarily as much news. But the number of massive climate shifts, the storms,
yeah.
the sea changes, the hurricanes, the flooding, the fires, all of this is interconnected.
Yeah. California spent the majority of 2023 on fire.
Yeah. Canada.
Yeah.
Remember Canada?
I mean, this summer, and that's something, so if you live in Wisconsin, if you're listening to this in Wisconsin, you'll remember that somewhere around June, there was a nice orange fog over the whole
yes,
area.
Because of the fires.
Because of the wildfires. And now they're saying, get used to that. This is going to become a regular thing. This is not a one-time deal because these fires aren't going anywhere. And I think I mentioned a long time ago, the old adage of the National Park Service was always, only you can prevent
forest fires.
Now it's only you can prevent wildfires, because that's the bigger problem. And it's almost like, yeah, this is what we're getting used to.
This is our new normal.
Because we won't do anything about it.
And you also have to love the politicians who will stand on the chamber, whether it's at the state level or whether it's in Washington, and they'll hold up a snowball,
ugh,
you know, in the middle of a hearing and say, well, we got snow. That proves there's no climate change.
Because there's nothing different between climate and weather. You overpaid hockey puck.
And the other thing I think people need to keep in mind as well when we talk about climate change and the number of people on the move, the number of people trying to emigrate to other countries, a lot of this is tied to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's drought or flooding, or it's so hot they can't grow anything anymore.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get to better circumstances so they can feed their families and live. And until this is addressed, we are going to see more mass movements across the globe as certain areas become less and less habitable.
And the thing, too, is we're coming into the realization now, this is not a statement on me, on recycling, from me saying I'm anti-recycling. I recycle. I got a big blue bin. But this notion that they put it into our heads that if we just separated our plastic bottles, this will make the difference. No, those plastic bottles are on a big barge in the middle of the ocean. They're in a garbage dump. Nothing's being done with them. This is holding those committing these environmental crimes responsible, and those are the big companies constantly pouring smoke, oil, poison into the air and the water, and they get away with it. They get tax breaks. They walk away. Oh, we started a foundation. We're fine. No, they're the reason why this is happening. And it's unfair that we're the ones who are like, if you don't do something about it, Jane, singular Jane, out of 8 billion people on this earth, we're going to be doomed.
It's going to be your fault.
Yeah. You didn't separate your ones and your sevens on your in your bin.
And how disappointing was that to find out that after we've been doing this for so long, that really kind of turned out to be a hoax, too, far as what they were able to recycle and how effectively and efficiently they were able to recycle things.
I remember feeling guilty if I saw a can in the garbage. Like, that shouldn't be there. What's going to happen to the earth?
Well, we're not saying don't separate your stuff and you should still recycle, but
please do that.
We got a ways to go. Yeah. All right. When we come back, Kristen Bry, the new mom, will be joining us. We're going to do the good, the bad, and you did what while you were on the witness stand?
I'm sorry. It was due tomorrow.
Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally Grown Radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care.
you can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
Mom used to scream about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy till Mom went to Al-Anon. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 33 today, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 15. Tomorrow, highs around 35. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bride. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And some big news came down yesterday. A Dane County judge handing a victory to supporters of abortion rights yesterday, ruling that that 1849 Wisconsin law does not prohibit abortions. And we're so happy that she was able to join us last minute. She is with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Michelle Velasquez is our guest. Thank you so much, Michelle. I'm sure you guys have been very busy since this was announced yesterday. So thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So what does this mean, Michelle? This decision by this judge in Dane County, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week?
So, you know, this decision is really what we at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin were anticipating. And as many folks know, we resumed abortion services back in September. And we did that really based on this judge's some prior decisions and rulings that came out earlier this summer that are really consistent with that final ruling and order yesterday. But just because Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin resumed doesn't mean that this decision doesn't have major impacts around the state. It absolutely does. What this decision does is, you know, hopefully provide providers and healthcare systems around the state with the reassurance that they can now treat their patients with the full scope of reproductive and sexual health care without fear of prosecution. And that's really the most important thing, is that people have access to this really essential health care. As far as what happens next in this case, it will really depend on whether any of the defendants decide to appeal this court's decision. And I'm sure that we will know more about that in the coming days and weeks. I know that one of the defendants, the district attorney, Joel Armansky from Sheboygan, issued a statement indicating that while he respects the court's decision and will, of course, abide by that order, he intends to appeal that decision. So that's his stated intention, and we'll see what the coming days and weeks bring with that.
I think it's really important for people to remember that under this 1849 law, there were no specifics as far as how close to death a mother had to be in order for them to say she needs this procedure to save her life. So none of those specific things were codified. And at least to me, that's what made this so immensely dangerous, because there were no parameters, right? There were no parameters, no solid parameters for our medical professionals to work within.
That's absolutely right. So this law was originally passed just a year after Wisconsin became a state, before women could vote, before the advances in medicine that we see and know today. So obviously it's a very antiquated and archaic law. And even with that exception, physicians around the state during that sort of year in a few months post Dobbs, before Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin resumed and before this court's decision, really grappled with what does this mean. And so the impact of that, you know, because some folks would say, well, there's an exception and you can provide an abortion to save a patient's life, but at what point is it legal? And so that really had this chilling effect. And we know that abortion bans and heavy restrictions lead to terrible health outcomes for the pregnant person, and disparately impact Black women and other women of color as well.
Michelle Velasquez is our guest. She's with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, talking about the decision that was announced yesterday by a circuit court judge, Diane Schlipper, essentially saying that the 1849 Wisconsin law does not prohibit abortions. And as you were saying, Michelle, at least in the Wisconsin instance, there were these exceptions for the life of the mother, but they were never codified. I think it's crucial for people to recognize in states like Texas, and where they have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, there are horrifying stories coming out of these states about women being told at 4 months that their fetus is not going to be viable. It lacks whatever, you know, it lacks a brain. Its lungs are not developing. And they have to carry that to term.
Absolutely. These bans and heavy restrictions make pregnancy even more dangerous than it already is. I think there's this sort of idea that, you know, pregnancy isn't really a big deal, and you carry a child for 9 months and then you have a baby and everything's great and lovely. And, you know, for some people that's certainly the case, but pregnancy is actually statistically a more dangerous than obtaining an abortion is. Abortions are safe. They're, you know, people, it's an outpatient procedure or a procedure done just through the use of medication. And so it's healthcare, and you're right. There are states where there's no exceptions. Wisconsin, under that 1849 law, only had an exception to save the life of the pregnant person. Again, exactly what that meant, we didn't know. There were no exceptions for rape or incest, no exceptions for other dangerous health conditions. Sometimes the fetus is incompatible with life outside the womb, as you were mentioning. And so it's really just forcing people to continue with pregnancies that are non-viable and that are going to negatively impact their physical health. And also forcing people that have carry pregnancies assume the risks, even in situations where the person has already determined, I am not able to care for this child, regardless of existing health conditions. They have made a choice for themselves that they cannot, for whatever reason, have a child. And so bans and restrictions obviously put people in positions of having to carry and have children that they would otherwise have not had.
I keep thinking of this one particular case in Texas, Michelle, where, again, her fetus was not viable. She was going to have to carry it to term. Ultimately, I think she got sepsis and ended up having to get a hysterectomy, which meant that she could never have any more children. And when she tried to join a lawsuit against the state of Texas, they essentially said, well, you no longer have standing in this because you can no longer have children.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And I, you know, wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not. We've seen, you know, this is really a culmination of 50 years of really strategic activism from the anti-abortion, anti-choice movement to chip away at abortion access. And right after Dobbs, one of the one of the attorneys in that movement really publicly stated this was the midpoint. The longer term goal is to ban abortion nationally. And so we see this happening even in places like Illinois and Minnesota, where abortion has always remained accessible and legal post-Dobbs. We see this in the form of these federal lawsuits that challenge the FDA's approval, for example, of mifepristone, which is the drug used. It's the first medication used in a medication abortion. It's the medication that I think about 98% of all medication abortions use. That's the first drug. And then there's a second medication called misoprostol, which can be used on its own. Mifepristone is the preferred regimen. And we see these lawsuits at a federal level really challenging, again, that medication, which could undo and create sort of a more tangled web of accessibility in states that have chosen to remain safe, accessible states.
Well, and I find it so interesting, too. And I mean, originally, the whole argument was states' rights. It has to go back to the states. Every individual state should decide its states' rights. Until now, we have some presidential candidates who are going, oh, no, we want to do this nationwide. So that whole premise that this was a states' right issue just got tossed out the window.
Yeah, I mean, the Dobbs decision certainly would indicate that the idea is that this goes back to the states. But yes, you're right. We certainly see folks who would like to ban abortion at the national level. And, you know, sort of similar to the 50 years of sort of leading up to the Dobbs decision, there will be continued challenges to existing laws or protections, such as the mifepristone, for example, just sort of a gradual attempt to chip away at the accessibility that there is, which is why I always tell people restoring access, protecting access, and expanding access is a marathon. There has to be a really long-term strategy. This isn't going to happen overnight. And we have to remain sort of poised to continue in this fight for the long term. Certainly here in Wisconsin, I'm sure other states obviously as well. And this case and decision yesterday, I know it is a long time. It's over a year since Dobbs. We're almost at a year and a half. And it is something that we're celebrating. We're thrilled. And we know that it's not enough because Wisconsin essentially reverts back to the legal framework that we were providing abortions in prior to Dobbs, which was very restrictive. It is very restrictive. Wisconsin is considered one of the more restrictive states pre-Dobbs. And so there's still a lot of work to be done. We don't have a enshrined state constitutional right to abortion at this point. We don't have a statutory right to an abortion at this point. And we have just a slew of laws and regulations that make accessing that care extremely difficult.
Going back to something that Jaina just said about politicians and whomever wanting the national abortion laws, something that I've been noticing especially in the Republican debate, Nikki Haley went on record as saying that she wasn't for it based simply because the improbability of getting it through all the way. And I feel like that, like I see a lot of politicians not really saying there's someone who danced the line really well because we're seeing individual states like Kansas pushing back saying, no, we don't want what you're trying to push. And it just seems to me that the pushing of a national abortion ban is just, it's going to be so much harder than, I don't know how to frame the exact question, but like these politicians, it just seems like they really just want it, but they're lying about it on the podium, essentially.
They would never lie.
I know. They're so nice.
They would never lie.
Yeah.
Michelle Velasquez is our guest from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, talking about the decision yesterday by a circuit judge in Dane County that the 1848-1849 law does not affect abortion. Michelle, do you have the time to stick with us through the break?
Sure.
Wonderful. I got a couple more questions, and I want to go back to, especially you're talking about, it is still, there are still lots of hoops for women in Wisconsin that they have to jump through in order to get this health care. So we'll talk about that a little bit more specifically when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. No one was moving, no one was there. The septic had backed up, there was yuck everywhere. It wasn't a good thing, no, not at all, to have that smell linger through bathroom and hall. Mom was left crying, the kids plugged their noses, Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved, the problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it, the problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and joining us on the stream from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Michelle Velasquez is our guest, and we're talking about yesterday's decision by Dane County Circuit Judge Diane Schlipper that the 1849 Wisconsin law does not prohibit abortions. And we were talking just before the break, Michelle, that there are still many, many steps that women have to go through in Wisconsin before they are able to get an abortion, correct?
Absolutely.
And what, there's still a waiting period, right?
Yeah. So, for example, there's a 24-hour waiting period. So what that means is someone comes in for an appointment, it has to be in person. So they couldn't do a first appointment by telemedicine. They have to go in, see the physician. And the reason they have to be in person is because the law requires a physical exam. It requires an ultrasound, even if the ultrasound isn't medically necessary. There is state counseling that's mandated, and that is a script from the state that is physicians are required to go over with the patient. And then the patient will need to come back at least 24 hours later for their appointment. And so realistically, the appointment isn't going to be exactly 24 hours later.
Right.
It may be later that week. It might have to be the following week, depending on schedules. If the patient is obtaining an abortion through the medication, they have to see the same physician that they saw for that first appointment. which makes it really difficult to provide medication abortion services, particularly in more rural areas where there are just frankly, there's fewer people. So there's fewer physicians available and there's even fewer for women's health. Those are just a few examples. Another major barrier is the cost of an abortion. And so people's insurance, depending on the source of it, may not be able to pay for that care. So if anyone is receiving a form of state Medicaid, whether it's Badger Care or a form of state Medicaid called Family Planning Only Services, none of those would be able to
cover this.
The abortion. If you are a public employee and you are receiving your insurance from essentially the government as your employer, right? That insurance could not pay for an abortion. If you buy your insurance on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, that cannot pay for your abortion. So there are these financial barriers, which are really significant. And, you know, sort of statistically, I think we're around 63% of people in this country couldn't cover an unexpected cost of about $500
right.
or more. That is just the reality that people are living in. So those are just, some of the barriers that people face trying to obtain what is routine medical care.
As you were going through those hoops that women have to jump through, all I could think of was, I would love to see how a man would react if he went in to see his doctor for whatever and had to go through the same amount of hoops in order to get health care. The outcry would be unending. You're going to do what? I have to come back in 24 hours. What? I'm not capable of making my own decision. What?
Absolutely. There's no other form of health care that's really regulated and restricted like abortion care is. The other thing I wanted to add is that advanced nurse practitioners also cannot provide this care. So they're not doing the initial consult with the patient. They're not providing the medication. This is Wisconsin. This looks really different in other places, particularly
sure.
our neighbors in Illinois and in Minnesota. And permitting advanced nurse practitioners to sort of practice under the full scope of their license, which they prescribe medication in every other scenario, except for like really specific types of controlled substances, permitting them to use the full scope of their license would be another way to expand the availability and access folks have to abortions.
And I think it's important for people to keep in mind, and I had done an interview with Wisconsin Right to Life probably 35 years ago, and they said then that the goal was to ban contraceptives, all contraceptives, ban all abortions, and that will also then spill over into IVF. And those kinds of treatments as well. Don't think they're not still gunning for that stuff, to ban that stuff. That is part of the overall goal.
Absolutely. I think, you know, this is about abortion, but it's about so much more. It's about these fundamental rights that we should have as human beings to control our own bodies, to control our futures and the course of our lives. And that includes contraception, that includes who we want to marry. And these are the sort of privacy rights that the Dobbs decision really sort of calls into question. And I know that, you know, in the decision, some of the justices sort of said, well, we're not talking about those things. But Justice Thomas was not shy about saying, well, actually, this could apply in those scenarios as well.
Right.
It's not so long ago that contraception was, you know, very, very regulated as well. Women who were not married couldn't obtain it. Women who were married couldn't obtain it without their spouse's permission. And that was in the 60s and early 70s. So it's not that long ago that contraception itself wasn't particularly available to everybody. So those types of things are not necessarily settled. The other side is absolutely coming for those access to contraception as well. And so that's why I say, again, this is a marathon and not a sprint.
Thank you so much again, Michelle, for taking time to join us today. I know there's been a lot going on. Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has been our guest, talking about yesterday's decision from the Dane County Circuit Court. Really appreciate it. I know we will talk more as the months go on. So thank you again. Stay tuned. The news is on the way next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba program from noon to 2 o'clock. Keep it close. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
They can't catch me, 'cause I'm too strong. They all want what I got, never leaving me alone. I ain't gonna break for that, I'm a Wonder Woman. Watch out, watch out. I ain't gonna take all that, I'm a Wonder Woman. Watch out. Hey, yeah. Hey. Where's my Wonder Woman? I'm a Wonder Woman.
Meet Ingrid. Fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
The morning show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. No. I've never been on.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been on like dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We gotta do
and I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the... He was in the, like, really...
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on. Where
every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Forget the kitchen chaos and embrace a stress-free celebration. Let Quality Foods of Wisconsin Rapids do the cooking with their complete Christmas ham or prime rib dinners. All you have to do is heat and serve, leaving you more time for making memories and enjoying the holiday spirit. Make this Christmas special with a gift of time and delicious memories. Let Quality Foods do the cooking so you can savor the season. Order your hassle-free holiday meal today from Quality Foods locations in Wisconsin Rapids. More details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
The
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. The mayors of Nashville and Clarksville have declared states of emergency as Central Tennessee cleans up after deadly and damaging tornadoes that hit the region yesterday. At least six people were killed, some three dozen treated at hospitals. WTVF-TV's Cole Johnson is in Madison, northeast of Nashville.
The damage here is extensive. This road is completely blocked off by damage. There's trees in the road. There's power lines down truly everywhere. There's homes that are seeing some damage pretty extensively.
University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill is out days after her heavily criticized answers to questions on anti-Semitism.